Good morning. I looked at my lapel mic and it said low battery, so I went in and changed the batteries and put new batteries in, and it said low battery. So I may or may not get cut off. If I get cut off, I got my Phillip's got my back. He's going to switch the mic, I'm sure, and make sure that we can still hear and everything. But as far as that goes, I may lose you for just a second. I'll repeat the whole sermon if you need me to. No problem. Sing to me of heaven, sing that song of peace. From the toils that bind me, it will bring release. I spend more time than I care to admit on social media. I am learning to keep my mouth shut, finally. One thing I've noticed about social media is that almost without exception, everyone on there is looking forward to and anticipating heaven. At least within my realm of friends, many of which are not Christians, they're just people I've known from around the community and from growing up in this area. And I'm sure there's a lot of atheists on there, but as far as just my group or circle of people that I know, not necessarily personal friends, people I know, they are looking forward to and anticipating heaven. And although the majority of them don't want to die and would do everything in their power to prevent death, they, for the most part, all want to go to heaven. And for the most part, they all believe that without a doubt, should they die today, they will be escorted into Abraham's bosom immediately. Where do people get the idea that everyone is going to heaven? Ask that question around and people will say things like, not everyone is going to heaven. But they might as well clarify by saying, the only ones going to heaven are the ones that I believe are going to heaven. No one would say that, but basically that's what they believe. This may sound absurd, however, when you really think about it, most people have in their minds a set criteria as to who will go to heaven and who will not go to heaven. The criteria is loose and flexible, however, and doesn't take into account what thus saith the Lord. For instance, no criminals or sinful person will go to heaven unless they were unfairly murdered, and then they'll get to go straight up. Or those who commit sexual perversions will be forgiven and allowed to go to heaven because it's God's fault for making them that way. Or it's God's fault for giving them too much freedom. Perhaps all of this sounds ridiculous. However, this is exactly the way that people act. One of the most reasonable views is that good people will go to heaven. I believe those allowed in heaven will be good. I believe that good people will go to heaven. All people that go to heaven will be good people. However, does the Bible teach that all good people will go to heaven? What exactly does the Bible teach concerning who will get to go to heaven? The word heaven itself is found 583 times in the Bible. We must understand that of those 583 times, it's not always mentioning the heaven that we picture in our minds as heaven. Sometimes it's talking about the kingdom of heaven, meaning the church. Sometimes it's talking about the kingdom of heaven, meaning heaven itself. There are at least three heavens mentioned in Scripture. One, the space above us where the birds fly. Two, the space that we call space where the planets reside. And three, the place where Jesus sits on the right hand of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2. John, we see this here. It says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. When we look at that, we say, what does that mean, the third heaven? That is that realm of God. That's not the heaven where the birds fly above our heads or the heaven where the planets are, but rather that is the place where Jesus sits at the right hand of God. The very first mention of the word heaven is in the first verse of the first chapter of the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Seven times heaven is mentioned just in the creation account. 30 times heaven is mentioned in the book of Genesis. Listen to this. Heaven is mentioned 52 times in the 66 books of the Bible. 52 times mentioned in 52 of the 66 books of the Bible. Heaven is mentioned 38 times in Deuteronomy. 38 times. 23 times in 2 Chronicles. 38 times in the book of Psalms. 24 times in Jeremiah. 32 times in the book of Daniel. I'm not giving you all of them. I'm just giving you the ones that are kind of high. 31 times in the book of Luke. 56 times in the book of Revelation. That's a lot. You know the book that has them all beat? The book of Matthew. 77 times heaven is mentioned in Matthew's gospel account. 77 times heaven is mentioned. The very first one is Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heaven as we know it is that place where those who die in the Lord go for eternity. But will all good people go to heaven as many people believe? A lot of people say, well, yeah, I think so. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Being 2,000 years removed from the scribes and Pharisees, it may be difficult for us to make an accurate assessment as to how righteous they were. It says, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. But how do we make an assessment of how righteous the scribes and Pharisees were? Well, I've never met a scribe or a Pharisee. But we all know from other passages that being righteous isn't going to be enough to get us a spot in heaven. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, an all too familiar passage. Matthew 7:21 begins, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. In fact, even those who are part of the kingdom may find it difficult to be let in. Matthew chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. Matthew chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. And Jesus here says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 11 and 12, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and from the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Many of the parables mention the kingdom of heaven, but not necessarily referring to that eternal abode, but rather the kingdom that Christ reigns over, made up of those who through obedience have become servants of Christ and have been added to that kingdom. Matthew chapter 18, verses 3 and 4. Matthew chapter 18, verses 3 and 4. And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble themselves as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Certainly there are some characteristics that we see are necessary in order to get to heaven. We need to be like children according to this verse. What does that mean? We need to be like children. And we need to quit thinking evil thoughts and quit practicing evil deeds. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 21, and speaking of the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 21, Jesus said unto them, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast and give unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Why is it that Jesus wanted him to sell all that he had so that he could have treasure in heaven? Sell all that you have because you're not going to be able to take it with you to heaven? Some people look at it that way. That's not what it's talking about. When he went away sorrowful, it says in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 23, Matthew 19 and verse 23, then said Jesus to his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. The guy had a heart problem. He had his mind in the wrong place. Many people, just like that rich young ruler, place their riches above everything else, including God. Some even go so far as to believe that all poor people will go to heaven. Well, look at that verse. It talks about poor people going to heaven. I don't want to be rich because I won't get to go to heaven if I'm rich. That's not what it's talking about. What it's saying is you can't let your riches and your wealth come before God. Abraham was rich. He always put God first. There's a lot of rich people in the Bible. They put God first. This young man did not. In fact, he had done everything. I've done everything. From my youth up, I've followed all of these commands. What else do I do? Sell all that you have. You got a heart problem. Sell all that you have. And Jesus was right. Jesus called it. He says, this guy's got a heart problem. Sell all that you have. Give to the poor. He went away sorrowful. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to sell everything I have. It's not worth that much to me. That's pretty sad. There's a lot of information in the Bible about what will keep us out of heaven. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. How many people today claim to know God, yet refuse to obey Him? It seems that people of today like to compartmentalize God. Instead of living for God and allowing God to shape and mold our lives, we tend to do the opposite. We live our lives however we want, and then we try to build our minds up in our minds what we think God should be. Oh, God isn't going to get mad at me for this. This is an imaginary God that we're worshiping if that's what we're doing. If we're building up in our minds that God will allow all the sinful practices that the Bible tells us that we shouldn't be doing, and we've convinced ourselves, we basically built an imaginary God. When you decide you like the idea of someone who will let you practice all sorts of sinfulness and still let you enter into heaven, then you've created in your mind an imaginary God. For God Himself has given us all the information we need to know about Him and about His desires in order for us to obey Him and to spend an eternity with Him in heaven. Some people look at that and they say, that sounds terrible. It sounds like God is this just evil creator that says, you're going to do it my way or the highway. The fact is that God knows what's best for us. And when He gives us a command, it's for our own good. We look at it and say, but I like doing this. That's not what's best for you, because God has come up with what is best for us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The world is our proving ground, if you will. But we need to learn how to escape the clutches of the evil one. And Satan will use seductive tactics to lure us away from God. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. And here he says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And then if we turn to Galatians chapter 6, and verse 8, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. How many people that we know are sowing to the flesh, and they believe that they're not reaping from the flesh corruption because the corruption has not come? When that body is corrupted in hell, they will understand. And it's sad to say that, and it sounds harsh to say that, but the Scripture teaches very, very plainly, those that sow of the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. It may not come in today's world, and it may not come in your lifetime. In fact, it's not going to. It's the difference between going to heaven and going to hell. The problem the rich young ruler had was that he was sowing to the flesh. And that doesn't mean that anytime we're sowing to the flesh, it means that we have a heart problem with our money. But that's one of the things that was a heart problem. He was sowing to the flesh. He was saving up riches for here. Is that wrong? Is it wrong for us to plan for our future and to make sure that we're taken care of in our old age? No, it's not wrong. If we let it come before us in God, that's when it's wrong. It's just like idolatry. People look at idolatry today and they say, well, what is idolatry? Those pagans from the Bible that are worshiping these false gods, bowing down to the moon or the sun or the stars? And you see this bumper sticker of somebody, I worship the sun. I don't ever see anything like that. People say idolatry is dead then, because we don't see that anymore. But that's not what idolatry is. Idolatry is putting something before God. It could be our money. It could be anything. It could be our family. Whatever we put before God. It could be the NFL, the NBA. It could be hunting, fishing, whatever it is. If we put it before God, it's become our idol. And we idolize that. That's what idolatry is about. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Think about that phrase for a moment. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. We need to live such a way that those that look at our lives see how we live and they glorify God because of that. From these verses, we can conclude that fleshly lust or the works of the flesh are that which will keep us out of heaven. I don't know how many times in the last couple of months I've heard the phrase, we need to take our country back. We need to take our country back. Yet as long as we sit idly by and do nothing, we can simply watch as the cities and the neighborhoods become war zones. And while we say we need to take our country back, we do nothing but watch from the sidelines and say things like, I'm glad I don't live there. Look at what they're doing. I'm glad I don't live there. Did you hear what happened? That happened where? That was in Detroit. No, that was in San Antonio. Oh, that's close to home, but I'm still glad I don't live there. I bring this up because it illustrates what so many people do with their own souls. The flesh and the spirit are in a battle, and the prize is the eternal destination of the soul. The flesh seems to be winning, and sometimes we just sit on the sidelines and refuse to do anything about our own soul, about our own salvation, or about the salvation of the ones we love. We don't take them the gospel, even though we can see it's right there. He's going to hell. There's nothing I can do about it. He's going to hell. He refuses to believe. Have you pleaded with him? Have you been with him? Have you had a Bible study with him? Show him what thus saith the Lord. Let's look at what the Bible teaches. Don't just keep believing whatever you believe. He believes some crazy stuff. Now, I'm afraid the Bible points out that he's going to go to hell, but what am I going to do about it? Who am I? I'm going to sit on the sidelines and do anything. I'm going to do nothing. Or worse yet, instead of throwing water on the fires of the flesh, we're bringing wood to the fire to add to it. By living our lives in such a way that people see us and say, if that person can live, I know he's a good person. He's a good person. He's probably going to go to heaven. If look at the way he's living. If he can do it, I can do it. Many people today believe that they can execute judgment where they have no authority. The word hypocrite or hypocrites, plural, is mentioned 31 times in the Bible. It is talking about people just like what we're seeing today. Those who claim to know God, but pretend to know God, or their knowledge of God couldn't be farther from the truth. They have no knowledge of God. They know a few little verses here and there, or they'll take some obscure passage and they'll just dwell on it and dwell on it and dwell on it and cling to that. What does that mean? Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9. Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9. The hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth near unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men. There are people that are worshiping God in vain all along because they refuse to follow His commands. They want to follow their own commands. We're going to follow God, but we're not going to do it according to this. We're going to pick up our own ideas and we're going to follow that. We'll use this as our foundation. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's good enough. We got it. Now let's go. That's horrible. But that's what people teach. This was going on when Jesus was speaking here in Matthew chapter 15. You a bunch of hypocrites. Isaiah prophesied about you. You're honoring God with your mouth and with your lips, but your teachings are far from Him. Your heart's far from Him. That's what He's saying there. We look at that and we say, you mean there are people who draw near to God with their mouth? They honor Him with their lips? Seems like a good thing, right? It would, except for their hearts are far from Him. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 24. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 24. And it says here, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. There's an old phrase that says, easier said than done. I look at that and I sometimes think, maybe he's talking about living as a Christian. Being a Christian is not hard, but being a doer of the word and not a hearer only is sometimes easier said than done. Sometimes we have a difficult time getting our lives in line with what the scriptures teach. Why do we have a hard time with that? Because Satan has made it too easy to go the other way. Satan's made it too easy to miss worship service. Satan's made it too easy to not study the Word of God. He's put too many good things on TV or things that we might want to watch or got brought other interest into our lives. He's made it very easy. Have you ever noticed that the criminals are the only ones that don't know that they are criminals? Have you ever noticed that? Criminals sometimes have the attitude that they're not committing crimes. Why do the police keep harassing us? Hello? Because you're committing crimes. Quit committing crimes, they'll leave you alone. Who are they to tell us what to do? This could be said about the unrighteous as well. Many people live the lives of hypocrites, never knowing at least never admitting to themselves that they have drifted away from obedience. They're in disobedience and they don't want to admit it. They don't want to admit it. They see what the scriptures teach and they want to ignore it. Close their eyes and close their ears. La, 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 la. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear what the truth is. That way I can, as long as I convince myself I'm okay, I'll be okay. That's not the way that works. What they perceive as being faithful is at best a weak and watered down faith. Or worse, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. How many people look at that list and say, I don't fit into any of those things. I may practice a half a dozen of them, but I don't fit into them because I explain it away in a way that it doesn't really affect me. Drunkards. Oh, I look at that and say, well, I don't have to worry about that because I'm not stumbling around stinking drunk. That's not the way that's talking about. You need to look at these verses and look at these words and see what it's talking about there. Do a word study on those words. You'll find out that those are some sins that will keep us out of heaven. And they're sins that people practice all around us all the time. Adulterers, effeminate. Christians have to be followers of God. We have to be doers and not just hearers. We just read in the book of James. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling savor. Listen to this. But fornication, and uncleanness, and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. What was that? Fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness. Those three. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. But, however, it says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. These are the things that we should not even be associated with. The habitual practice of these things will keep us from heaven. Those people that commit these things and then refuse to repent and refuse to turn their lives around. We look at people's lives before they became Christians. They lived worldly lives. We lived worldly lives as we were before we became Christians. We repent of those things and turn away from them and not turn back to them. Some people turn back to them. They want to balance. They want to juggle. I can keep it all in the air all at once. I can keep up with everything. One more verse. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 22. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 22. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variants, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Very, very clear right there. Did you notice that? Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And this one is clear in that it says, they which do such things shall not inherit. They which do those things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What can keep us from the kingdom of God? Those that do those things. Those that do not obey the gospel. Those that do not know God. How many people that you talk to, they come up to you and they say, oh, God's going to take care of us. God's going to this, God's going to that. And the more they talk, the more you realize they don't even know who God is. If they knew who God was, they would have their lives right. They would get their lives together. They don't know who God is. That's sad. It's terrible to say that, but it is the truth. There's a lot of people that claim to know God just because they heard of God. They believe in a God, but they don't know who God is. They've never opened their Bible. They never studied their Bible. And others have studied the Bible and still don't know God. Scary thought. Which things? You just told us. I suppose the world would say, sure, murder is bad. Witchcraft, bad. Adultery and fornication, those things are bad. Adultery and fornication, maybe not so much. The world, perhaps many don't even know what seditions and heresies are. Idolatry is another one of those. We're not bowing down to some totem pole, so we're not committing idolatry. It's not true. I gave you a definition of idolatry. It's those things that keep us from God. As far as uncleanness, lasciviousness, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, envy, drunkenness, revelings, the attitude seems to be everybody's doing those things. Surely God will understand. God does understand, and He gave us the ability to resist those things. God does understand, and He told us to stay away from those things. That's written right there for us to understand what to stay away from. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, if you think it's too difficult. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. God has given us a way out. If we're looking for that way out in the bottom of a bottle, if we're looking for that way out in anything worldly, or if we're looking for that way out in those things that He just told us to stay away from, then we're looking in the wrong place. We need to be looking into the Bible and looking into the Scripture, what thus saith the Lord. Because that's where we're going to find our answer. God gives you a way to escape. Lord, how do I get over this? Lord, the temptation is too great. How can I understand this? Look in the Bible. The answer's here. He's given us the answer, and it's going to be in here. Get in the book until the book gets into you. Get into the Word of God until the Word of God can make a change in you. Or until you'll make a change because you want to live for God. Will everyone who is good go to heaven? No. We know from Scripture that that cannot be the case. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. But who will go to heaven? I'd have to say those who know God and who have obeyed the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8 again. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What does that mean to obey the gospel? It means that we got to hear the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we must believe that. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We must repent. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 says, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. We must confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Matthew 10 verse 32 and 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. When we put Christ on in baptism, Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Peter says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then we must remain faithful unto death. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13, But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. If you have any need, won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.